Our scripture reading for the sermon, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. You can find that on page 1005 in the Pew Bible. Luke 2, starting at verse 8. Hear God's word. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Amen. You may be seated. And would you please pray with me? Thank you, our Father. Thank you for this word of good news about the Savior, Christ the Lord. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us understanding, that we would learn the things that you want us to learn, and that we would grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would have great joy in him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
How refreshing in our day to get good news of great joy to all people. Amen. How unusual and how refreshing to get good news. And so I have the privilege to proclaim to you, born to you today is a Savior, Christ the Lord. Amen. And so this morning, since God gives you great joy through Jesus, rejoice. Amen. And so, what a time God gives us for rejoicing. And we need to unpack the idea of joy. Our passage has the angels declaring that this is a cause of great joy. The angel declares, "I bring you good tidings," or good news, "of great joy." The word translated joy comes from a root that means to rejoice, to be well, or even to thrive. And so sometimes this word was used in greetings. They would greet each other, rejoice. And this lines up with our dictionary definition of joy as being an emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. Now, in the case of the shepherds, they heard the greatest news ever. God sent his own son in the flesh into the world to save his people from sin and death. What could be better news than that? Amen. In the Psalms, we are urged to rejoice in the Lord, in the God of our salvation, again and again. Psalm 35:9, "My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation." And as the exiles returned to Israel after being away 70 years, during the time of Nehemiah, upon a public reading of the law, there was great sorrow and weeping as they heard the word of God. And to comfort the afflicted Nehemiah, the governor said, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Amen. Nehemiah 8:10. That's a good verse for memory. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. And then in the New Testament, both James and Peter urge us to rejoice even as we face trials. James in 1, 3, and 4 calls us to counterintuitively count it pure joy when we face trials and difficulties. Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and as patience has its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What a good thing to rejoice. And then Peter boldly states that we, his hearers, greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, we have been grieved by various trials. And that though we have not seen Christ, we believe and rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That's from 1 Peter 1 and up to from 6 to 8. Now, what do we make of this? That joy, even in the midst of trials, ought to be the norm for the Christian. Let me say that again. Joy ought to be the norm for the Christian. Isn't it true that the fruit of the Spirit is joy? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Amen. Thank you for that strong backup. And we might ask with Paul in Galatians 4:15, what has happened to all your joy? What has happened to our joy, people of God? And so in Philippians, again and again, Paul urges us to rejoice in the Lord. In Philippians 2:18, Philippians 3:1, Philippians 4:4, which says, "Rejoice in the Lord." How often? Always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Amen. Help us rejoice, Lord. Amen. John Gill says, "To all the chosen people of God, whether Jews or Gentiles, whom God has taken to be his covenant people and has given to his Son as such to redeem and save, to these, the incarnation of Christ, with all the benefits resulting from it, is the cause of great joy." Amen. Amen. And so, rejoice. Amen? So that's what joy is. Joy is that response that we have that, yeah, it's a feeling, but it's a right feeling for a right reason. It's rejoicing because God has given us good news. And it's rejoicing because God is our God. And so we rejoice in the Lord. Because no matter what, the Lord will be there. Amen? And the Lord is there to bless his people. It says And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. It doesn't say that all things are good, but it does say that God will work all things together for your good, for your best. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So joy is a blessing from God. Who gets it and who doesn't get it? The humble and the repentant get joy. And the proud and those who refuse to repent don't. That's from the Bible. The humble. Psalm 34:2, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Amen. The repentant. 2 Corinthians 7:9-10. Now I rejoice, not that you are made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you are made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. And so we don't want a worldly sorrow because bad things have happened. We want a godly sorrow that we've offended our Heavenly Father and we're sorry and we repent. And then we will receive joy. Amen?
Amen?
The unrepentant and the proud get no joy. Think of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. No joy. And the proud. The Bible tells us that God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace, and really the grace of joy, to the humble. Psalm 16:11. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. Why does joy come? Joy comes because we are connected with the situation of things in heaven where things are as they ought to be. And so in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures evermore, because in heaven, God's will is done and God is glorified. In Luke 15:7, Jesus said this, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or you could read that, who think they need no repentance. Because who is there who has never sinned and needs no repentance? No one except Christ. Then Luke 15:10. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And so we find that in heaven there's joy over the repentance of sinners. And then Matthew 25:21, a picture of the judgment. And as God blesses someone who's coming into heaven, well done, good and faithful servant, you are faithful over a few things, I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into what? The joy of your Lord. Heaven is a place of fullness of joy. And I don't know about you, but I want to be there. And I will be there because of Jesus. Because he died on the cross, pouring out his blood to wash away your sin and mine, those who trust in him, they will be with him in glory. Amen. And so I urge you this morning to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then you will have cause for rejoicing in the good news of God. Amen. Heaven is a place of fullness of joy. The pulpit commentary is helpful here. It is noted that joy is not said to enter into us. That indeed, though a blessing unspeakable, would be an inferior boon, as Augustine says, but we enter into the joy when it is not measured by our capacity for receiving it, but it absorbs us, envelops us, becomes our atmosphere, our life. Commentators quote Leighton's beautiful remark, "It is but little that we can receive here, some drops of joy that enter into us, but there, in heaven, we shall enter into joy as vessels put into a sea of happiness." Wow. That is something to look forward to, indeed. Why rejoice? Because we've got good news. We've got the best news. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Not temporary good news, like a new president. Presidents come and go. Like a new drug, it may effectively cure a disease, but it can't give eternal life. And so we have the gift of eternal life through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have cause for great, great rejoicing, mega rejoicing, to use the Greek word. And so this morning you may be asking, well, how can I have more joy? I'm glad you asked. Several answers. One is believe the good news. Believe the good news. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. To you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Believe that you have salvation through Christ the Lord. Amen? And if you believe that, you will have joy. That's one thing. Then secondly, repent. Luke 15:7 says, "I say to you likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." If there's joy in heaven, there's also going to be joy in us as well. And so I urge you to repent and to share in that heavenly joy. Amen? And then also obey the command in the power of the Spirit. The Bible tells us, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. And that's in the imperative. So it's a command. And it's a command that we can, in faith, obey by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's doable if we will trust that God gives us the power to do it. And so we need to exercise faith, obey, and rejoice. Amen? Again, I will say, rejoice. And lastly, we can have more joy when we cheer up, and realize you are worse than you ever thought. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is far better than you ever dared imagine. And it's true. And so you can turn to the person next to you and say, cheer up. Cheer up. Because the gospel is true. Today is born for you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen? Amen. And so, people of God, rejoice. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you. We're so grateful, Lord, that you have given us a great salvation through your Son, Jesus. And we see from your word that this is cause for great joy. And so we pray, Lord, as we think of these things, think of this great world-changing event, that we would rejoice and that we would be glad in you. And so help us to be obedient and to have great joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And